You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, good evening and welcome to the Fatback 4 on this Sunday night after Liverpool yesterday have beaten Burnley by 2-0 at Anfield. With me tonight is Grizz, Shawnee and Keith, as always, and loads and loads and loads to get through tonight. As you can see on screen, we have got Liverpool 2, Burnley 0, which we're definitely going to talk about. A full Anfield again for the first time since March 2020. If I remember right, Atletico, I think, maybe, but Bournemouth, I can't remember. Harvey Elliott, big chat on Harvey Elliott after yesterday's four start in the Premier League for him, which was huge, and Liverpool are now 2 wins from 2 in the Premier League, heading into Chelsea at home next Saturday evening at 5:30 p.m. Everybody's welcome. Keep the stuff going in the chat. Get all your comments in there. We get to as many as we possibly can. Please hit the like button. Please subscribe if you haven't already. You know the drill. Lads, how are we? Shawnee, how are you, my man, at Anfield yesterday? Looked like you got very, very wet at Anfield yesterday. But luckily enough, the colour in your new jacket didn't run. So that was good.
Yeah, fucking never stopped choking it since I arrived in the city. But to be honest with you, no amount of bad weather could take the shine off and just how good of a day it was yesterday. To feel alive again, in a sense, just being in that situation, to be able to be in a city that I actually really, really love. It's one thing I didn't realise how much I actually missed the city of Liverpool and the people in it. And just how the general manner of the Scousers, like, I brought my nephew with me to the game yesterday and it was his first game and he was like, "What's the story with this place around here? It's like everyone is your mate."
Yeah, you met loads of people, didn't you?
That's one of the things that I really missed, because that just the warm people, the Scousers and the fans around the ground. And I got to meet like a few people from that they'll be normally in the chat, and Alex from the Cop TV, and I met a couple of lads. I met Gibbo from the Anfield Rap and Jay Pearson from Cowboy T. I'm shouting out every bleeding podcast and the war here at the moment, but it was just good to link up with these people, and it was great. It was just absolutely brilliant to get to see the Reds and live football again and finally get back to Anfield after what it is a really, really long 2 years.
Yeah, it was. It feels like an absolute age, and you know, we have trips booked over to go over to Liverpool now between now and Christmas and beyond, and literally after seeing you was there yesterday, I was like, oh, I should have went yesterday. And then I'm kind of going, I should have gone next week. And it's just like, you know, when you have an itch, but now it's a proper itch. Grizz, you were at the game as well. Your jacket was from the Antiques Roadshow as opposed to a new Liverpool one, as was going around their WhatsApp group. But despite your lashing rain, because the weather looked horrific, I don't think it dampened anyone's experience there yesterday, because for a half 12, the place looked like it was absolutely bouncing from early doors.
Yeah, no, look, first I must address the jacket. Most loved it, some hated it, and some didn't understand why I was wearing it. So, look, I was told to dress smart by the sponsors that need to give a shout out to sportsbreaks.com, who were kind enough to give me some tickets for the game. And I was told to dress smart, no hoodies, no trainers, no tops, footy tops or nothing like that. Because I'd be sitting with journalists, but when I went there, I saw so many people. I felt so overdressed; it was unbelievable. Like, that's an actually that jacket, Gaff. I won't even tell you how much it's cost me. Right,
8 quid.
Fucking got soaked. No, it honestly, and I felt so overdressed and out of place. Like, but it is what it is. Look, you know what I mean? You learn. Me and Shawnee, I think we missed it because I just went in and then I couldn't come out of where I was until after the game. And then after the game, as you guys all saw, it was absolutely lashing it down as soon as the game finished. And he was on the other side of the stadium. You done your cop TV up behind the cop, didn't you? The actual cop, just, wasn't it? There's a pub behind the cop.
Just right outside the park, yeah.
Yeah, and I was on the other side, so we didn't get to meet this time, but we will arrange something. But yeah, overall, fucking amazing. Yeah, just like what Ronnie said, so just happy to be there. It was like an occasion. It was just like a get-together at Christmas, one of those ones. You know what I mean? Where you, all the family and friends around. It was just one of those occasions.
It reminded me yesterday, not only at Anfield, but, you know, you look at Elland Road and, you know, because it's the first game of fans in the Premier League at Elland Road for nearly 17 years, I think now. And it kind of reminded me of the buzz I was kind of getting off all the different grounds as they were going around them on TV and stuff like that on Saturday and even today where teams are having their first home game. It was nearly like, you know, when you see somebody get a new stadium. And it's like this buzz and everyone's going around going, oh, this is bleeding great. And I look at this. That's what it was like. Although you're going to Anfield or you're going to the Emirates. Well, it's not a great buzz going to the Emirates. But, you know, if you're going to other teams that are half decent, it was like that kind of everyone milling around going, this is amazing. I can't wait to get in and see what this looks like. And it was unbelievable. But Keith, to have fans back at Anfield, like, I just thought it was brilliant watching it yesterday. Like I'm never into the build of my matches. I literally turn around as it kicks off because of the coverage from most channels. But yesterday I was kind of like, yeah, get all of this in. Show me everything you have.
Yeah, no, it was great. You know, it's something we've spoke about on this so many times, you know, the difference that fans will make, not just for us, but you mentioned Leeds there and other teams will benefit. And, you know, it was sort of like, nearly like, you know, when you go out with your mates, you're all allowed out, your missus let you out for a night in town and you're all going in all giddy and all that. That's what it looked like. Everybody was just sort of happy to be there and the atmosphere, I'd say, was great. And the lads were lucky to be there, you know what I mean? It's a great... Absolutely. A great game to go to, the first home game after so long, and, you know, so envious of the boys that they got to go. But even watching it, as you said, Gav, looking at it on the TV and you're seeing all the other stadiums and all the fans, it seems, we've said this before, it seems like football again. And I know that sounds a bit childish because we didn't win the league or we didn't win the Champions League, all that stuff. But we've spoke about this, you know, a lot of people fell out of love with the version of football that was there. It's already improving tenfold with crowds back, with changes to the VAR, although I'm sceptical about how that's going to work out. But, you know, the crowd is a big thing, and it's a big thing for us. And, look, it just seemed like a buzz for everybody that was there, you know. And the players react to that. And we're going to talk about the performances, and we're going to talk about, you know, players that maybe flourish under that sort of support. But, you know, it was a special day, and yeah, comparing it to a new stadium, like, yeah, it is that sort of that buzz, you know, a new car, a new anything, new runners. Do you know what I mean? You're going around
runners.
With a big smile on your face, you know what I mean? new pair of blading,
Air Max.
New pair of sizzlers on your feet. The Air Max had the good stuff. But no, it's great. It's the new, something new, even though it's not. It's the same thing that we've taken, as Jurgen Klopp said, we've taken for granted maybe in the past. Let's not take it for granted anymore. I'm sure the boys enjoyed every minute of it and soaked it all up. And that's what it's all about. And look, like yourself, Gav, I'm looking to get back as well and you know, feel that as well. Because it's all been good looking at it from the TV. When you're there, it's a different gravy. And, you know, that's what we all want to do. And hopefully they expand that stadium to 180,000 and we can all get tickets someday.
Yeah, don't worry. We've loads of plans to be in Liverpool loads of times this season, so don't be worrying about it. We are going to go on to the show, but before we do, I'm just going to do this.
Thank you.
Now, that video was courtesy of Paul Gorse from The Echo. I asked him earlier, could he use it? He said, yeah. We're probably still going to break some copyright rules, but fuck, it was worth it, wasn't it? Just to watch that, to be perfectly honest with you. But
making lads, me emotional again.
It was. Yeah. Loads of people asking.
It is genuine, and
stuff
it?
Like that. But,
emotional.
But I'm thinking of doing favourite video of the week now that we can get away with and sticking it up on it. And well, we just all watch it.
One of the video Joe Matip acting like a space kid definitely should have won it anyway.
The one where he gets hit in the head and he's all over the shop.
I noticed that live in the game and I thought I was at the falling asleep or something. I was like, what is he doing? He's off the fucking head. Yeah, he's walking around rubbing his head like he's in a Tom and Jerry cartoon or something.
Yeah, it's Dan wants me to play the clip of the Eddie had before kickoff. Now, I didn't bother watching them. but listen, lads, I want to get straight into it. And the first thing up, right, because it's kind of, it's in fairness, it's breaking news tonight. And it's that of Paul Joyce and others have kind of announced this. And it's Liverpool have agreed a fee of 9.5 million with Lyon for Jerdan Shaqiri. Initial bid was around 4 million. So, like 9.5 million, it looks like now. Looks like personal terms were agreed a week or two ago, and you know, an agreement is now in place between both clubs. Grays, I'll come to you first. When you look at this, the first thing people are doing is right, like, he's gone. Shaqiri's gone because it was always Shaqiri and it was always Origi. And if one of them goes, we're bringing somebody in. And the kind of murmurings coming out of journalists tonight is that, look, they have made that deal happen, 9.5 million. He's on his way to France. And the talk coming out is that they don't look like they're going to replace him or anybody. It looks like it's going to be a case of, you know, Harvey Elliott will take his place in the squad and those minutes that Shaqiri would have got this season. And Cade Gordon has been earmarked for minutes in the League Cup and possibly FA Cup as well. What do you make of it?
Well, if they say he'll be replacing Shaqiri minutes, I'm not quite sure, but I wonder if someone in the chat can work out. I think he may have overtaken his minutes already. By playing the 490. I may be wrong, but it will be close. So that wouldn't be much of a mission to play Shaq's minutes. It makes sense from that aspect, if you word it like that, and if you take it literally, that a direct replacement for Shaq is Elliot. I think after yesterday, I know we're going to touch upon it, but I think from after yesterday, not many people would be disappointed if that was the case, because this guy is just—he landed yesterday. He apps in my eyes, anyway. He landed, and I'm not sort of being, you know, I'm not overacting. I think overreacting. For Shaq, you know, it was inevitable. He needed to get away to play. He just wasn't going to play. He just doesn't play enough, even when he's available. He's overlooked. It's interesting because do you remember, guys? Klopp tried to play him in a midfield three sometimes as well. Just the fact that he didn't think he was suited enough to play out wide right. He tried to play him in sort of exactly where Elliot played last night. Was it last night? Yesterday. My bearings are all over the place. But yeah, so where he's played Elliot in pre-season and yesterday is where he tried to play Shaq. So it kind of makes sense that, you know, Elliot could be his replacement, probably is his direct replacement. But overall, I'd be absolutely amazed and shocked if we don't bring in someone this week. Absolutely, but yeah, fair play to Shaq. You know, he's not been a div like div, and realised he needs to get away. And good luck to him. You know, he how much was he? 12 million? 12 million. Yeah.
14 million. His goal against
13 million. His goal against Man United is enough for me for that to pay back that fee. Do you remember when I think we were drawing and he came on a sub.
Score two.
Score two. Yeah, that's enough for me. I mean, and we've got money back as well. So, yeah, fair play to him. Good luck to Shaq.
Shani, you know, it makes sense for all parties. I think this whole security move, I think he's done okay at Liverpool. I don't think he's been reliable enough. And I think that kills you at Liverpool if you're not reliable enough. It really does. Especially the level we're at. You know, going back a couple of years ago, if you weren't that reliable, i.e. Daniel Sturridge, when he came back, everyone pinned their hopes on him. You know, and then he'd go again and you kind of falls down. Whereas now, with the squad Liverpool have, despite a few being unreliable at times, if you're that unreliable, it kills you, Shani. And I think it's a good move for him. I think it's a good move for the club. But the big question is, and I want just your opinion on this, the big question for me is, do they bring somebody in? Because I think all of us are in agreement that we need one, if not two. that absolutely cement this squad going into what is for me a title challenge and a push for the Champions League.
Yeah, I'd say it's certain that they bring at least one in. To be honest with you, I'd expect the ball to start rolling now, because any negotiation power we might have lost by being overloaded by a non-homegrown quota, that's gone now. So that's something we don't need to worry about now. So I'd imagine time is ticking as well on the window. I'd imagine we've got deals lined up and we're just waiting to pull the trigger on them now. But to be honest with you, Gav, after being in the stadium yesterday and watching 90 minutes of football, I really don't give a shite about transfers. Show me how little it means. When I've seen the players that we have who are back and how good that they are, it just made me realise how silly it sounds. Crowing out for, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? Because the truth of the matter is, with the players we have there, it's not absolutely necessary, you know what I mean? But I do think we will make one more at least. I think a second one maybe will probably depend on getting Origi out. But yeah, Shaq, look, come in, done his job. Was only ever going to be a squad player. I don't think when we signed him, I don't think anyone saw him becoming a mainstay in the starting 11. He did have some good games. He had a couple of good spells, but he was just let down by injury. And look, the money we paid for him, I don't think anyone would have been said it was a bad move or it was ever bad business. I think he came in, did whatever he had to do and won a couple of trophies. So, yeah, all the best to him. Exactly the correct time for club and player. It's done now, so all the best to him.
Yeah, absolutely, and it looks like it's done. Somebody said earlier, put up on the screen, that Leon looked like they announced it as well. Keith, do you go with this argument that, you know, Shaqiri 500 and odd 51 minutes in Premier League football last season, you know, and if Harvey Elliott is earmarked for them minutes, that he'll easily do 550 and we're okay where we are? Or do you still believe, despite what Harvey Elliott does, we need to bring somebody in? You know, not even just what Harvey Elliott does, but in midfield itself, we still need to bring someone in.
Yeah, I mean, Shawnee touched on, you know, the boredom of sort of transfer stuff that goes on and the negativity and toxicity around. That's why it came off Twitter, like, because of all the shit that goes on around transfers. It does your head in. It's awful. But I'm saying that, you know, I don't think they let Shaqiri go if they didn't have something lined up. And people are under the illusion like that, you know, Jurgen Klopp needs to cancel Divock Origi's contract, right? This shit that happens. Jurgen Klopp, if we know anything about Jurgen Klopp, he will not run players out of a club, right? Shaqiri went because he obviously wanted more minutes. There's no way Liverpool have run him out, because Klopp he's done it with Daniel Sturridge, he's done it with Lallana, he's done it with Lovren. You know, he's done it with Moreno. If he feels a player is good around the place, he will keep him as part of the group. And that's what I think, you know, Shaqiri was part of that group. And I think Shaqiri wants a move. And I think they will look to replace him. The idea of Harvey Elliott replacing his minutes. Yeah, I mean, let's say we don't sign anybody else and we look at the squad.
Well, he replaces his minutes, he plays six full games.
Yeah, so that's doable, that's it. I'd say. Yeah, so that's more than doable. But that's what I'm saying.
That makes the argument for a replacement, because there's 38 fucking games. You know, if he plays in six of them, where else are you going to put the minutes to work? All right, he will play more than that Harvey Elliott, judging on yesterday, but overall...
Yeah, but if that's Shaqiri's minutes out the door, well then the argument would be you don't need to bring in Saul, for example, because, you know, it's a bit of a silly argument. In the sense that I just think they need minutes, because you look at Genie's gone out the door, you look at Shaq gone out the door, and we've only brought in a centre back, you know, on a squad that's, I wouldn't say it's bare. I don't think it's bare. I think if the transfer window closes and we don't do any business, it'll be interesting to see who doesn't go now, whether Minamino, for example, stays in the squad. And if he does, and it's by choice by Klopp, it'll be interesting to see how Klopp uses the squad, because it's no good having Harvey Elliott, Minamino and all these, Origi, if he's still there, registered, let's say, to the squad. And then when Sadio and Mo go to the AFCON, you're just dropping these lads in for their first minutes.
Well, that's the thing. You're hearing
that's pointless.
Like, you're hearing things like League Cup and FA Cup, and let's be honest about it, Liverpool don't pay much attention to either of those things. So to
put
League
you'd be lucky to do a run. Yeah, you'd be lucky to get a run of games.
To put that argument there is a bit mad. Sorry, Sean. Neil Lewis, whatever way you want to put it. He says, we should all go all out for Basuma. That name's come up loads in the chat, by the way. And let Elliot slot into a Coutinho role and centrally. Basuma is essential to a dominant midfield. His name has come up a lot. We'll talk about that a little bit later when we get to the window. But that name, Basuma, has come up a lot. Sorry, Sean, even before we move on, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just like, it's important to note that basically from next week or the week after, we'll be playing three games a week pretty much up until February or March. So that's where the squad's resolve will be really tested.
Mm.
So we're looking at it from a point of view from yesterday where you're bringing Thiago and Firmino off the bench and you had Robertson there on the bench. So we looked all right in that moment. But the problem will be when there's a few bodies missing, what sort of quality will we have on the bench? And
yeah,
that I think that's why it will all work out in the end. I think the signings will be done. So I'm not worried about it. I'm really not. To me, Naby has already exceeded my expectation for the start of the season and what he's been able to do.
Yeah, true.
Because that's just the way I've looked at it. Like I've just taken it as face value.
Yeah.
That Naby was never available. Keita, he's been brilliant in the last couple of games. Yeah. Very effective, doing things I've never seen him do. Ox was missing yesterday for personal reasons. So let's just see how it pans out. We're in much better shape than we were last year anyway, I think, regardless of Gini being in or out.
Yeah. Ramiz Khalil says a super chat, and he reminded me, he said, you've missed a super chat. I haven't, Ramiz. When I see them, I favourite them and I bring them in when we need to bring them in. I just don't throw them up immediately. But he says, no, Mo, Mane, Bobby, Fab, Ali and Naby are playing in red list countries for World Cup qualifiers in September, October and November and will have to isolate after and miss games plus AFCON. Are we concerned also with Shaq gone? We get one in, you reckon? I think one will come in. I still think two, and that's what I've thought for a long time, but that's an interesting one about the World Cup qualifiers.
That's
and
not
red list.
Happen.
I'm wondering, did he go?
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think they go because, like I said, you know, you just can't travel into those countries and come back. It's and you know, I don't think it'd be allowed. But we'll have to wait and see. You know, anything could happen, I suppose. But moving on, let's get into the lineup because the lineup was interesting. You know, we did see. You know, we see this team come out. It's Tsimikas, Van Dijk, Matip, Trent at the back, Alisson and Carson goal. Henderson comes in because Fabinho, unfortunately, due to the passing of his father and his commiserations from everyone here to him, he misses the game. Keita plays after playing last week against Norwich. Elliot is a surprise, I suppose, to come in. And the front three are as they were against Norwich. Grizz, I'll come back to you because the standout thing there is, you know, it is Elliot and Henderson coming back in. I suppose he was going to do that. Milner was missing or not. But when you see that team, Grizzy, you're thinking, wow, that's attacking. Because I look at that and I just think seven of them want to attack.
Yeah, look, as soon as I saw that team, of course, the standout was obviously we knew Fabinho had lost his father. So, you know, our best wishes obviously go out to him and his family. And so once he's missing and then that automatically means Hendo comes in and so we're not 100% sure on his fitness. Like, we know he's been back. We know he's been training injury-free throughout pre-season on his own as well. But the standout, obviously, was Elliot. I'm not going to lie, I was slightly concerned when I saw that lineup. A, the height of that lineup. Apart from Matip and Virgil, Henderson's 6 foot. It's a very, very small team, and I thought, wow, against this team of I think practically all of them 6 foot plus lumberjacks, I thought set pieces, throw ons, etc., etc., and just over just basically being more physical than us. And they showed it, to be honest with you, in the first 10-15 minutes. They were very, very physical. But my God. Obviously, it's not going to focus on Elliot yet, but the standout in the lineup was Elliot, and I thought that's brave. That's the first thing that came to my mind. And you know how we've been discussing a few weeks ago in terms of how Klopp's going to be this season, in terms of are we going to get the old Klopp, the brave Klopp? Sort of this was an indication, a positive indication, in my opinion, that not only have we got the fans back and our, obviously our players back, but we've got the positive, the rejuvenated, the refreshed Klopp back, because that was a big call, in my opinion. He could have gone for the safe option and Thiago and then mix it around, or even Minamino probably, you know, and mixed it around. Obviously, Ox was personal reasons out, but I thought just to bring him in against the most physical and aggressive team in the league was a huge call for Elliot and a huge call from Klopp.
It was. I thought it was a huge. It was a huge call. You know, when you look at the midfield last week, and I think he's bringing Fabinho onto that game last week in preparation for playing him against Burnley. Not only because he's fucking excellent at what he does, but like you said, the height. You know, Fabinho's really good in the air, and he's another big body to have, because Burnley are going to hit down channels, which they were quite good at throughout the game. They are going to try to get free kicks. They're going to try, you know, get balls into the box from them free kicks and see how they get on. And something nearly happened. Something really did nearly happen for them. So it was one of those where, you know, it's a very brave call from Klopp. But the one thing I would say is, I think you're right. It shows a rejuvenated Klopp, because last year Klopp, when things were going wrong, he just tried to stick with what he knew and just tried to make his way out of this, you know what I mean? And part of it was down to the fact that it's all he had. But like, he could have easily, like you said, he could have put Thiago in there, you know what I mean? He could have done something different, but he didn't. He said, no, Elliot's been playing there pre-season. He's had whatever amount of minutes against Norwich. I'm throwing him in. And as we get to later, because it's probably the main part of our chat, you know, it was a decision that was absolutely brilliant, to be perfectly honest with you. Seanie, coming on to you, just moving away from the lineup a little bit, and Grizz says that Burnley done quite well in the first 15 minutes. I thought they were in the game for most of it. They worked hard. I didn't think they could keep up the intensity that they had, and that showed, I think, after about 55-60 when Liverpool really put the pedal down, you know what I mean, and nearly came out with second or third gear. But Klopp makes a comment after the game, and I want to touch on this and how our centre-halves dealt with it, right? He was going on about the style of play. He said, it's too dangerous. We have to protect players. If people say, I love watching that, then we're watching wrestling, right? Now, that's probably a bit over the top, I'm going to be honest with you. It's a little bit over the top. But I seen a comment from, it was one of them on Match of the Day, saying that he watched the game and he didn't see where Klopp was coming from. And then 5 seconds later, I seen a clip of Diogo Jota being picked up and thrown across the pitch at Anfield. Seanie, is there anything in that from Klopp, or does he just not like Burnley? Because I just get the impression him and Dyche just don't get on, because Dyche is a moany prick anyway.
Yeah, they've had a bit of previous, hadn't they? Mm. Dyche, yeah. And Klopp. So it's just digs, really. But look, I'm going to go again. I kind of like that. I like the physical side of the game, to be honest with you. The thing that annoys me about Burnley is the time wasting and the stuff like that. That's the bleeding stuff that does me head in. Like, Nick Pope reaching for the water after 2.5 minutes yesterday. They just tried to slow the game down from minute one. But look, this is what you're up against, Gavin. That's Sean Dyche's specialty. Like, that's why he's an actual sought after man. I actually think Dyche is a really, really good manager, to be honest with you. I think he's working miracles there at Burnley, and he's found a way to make them a sustainable Premier League club without not really spending much money.
They were being physical, but at the same time, if their players were getting touched, they were calling for every decision and foul at the same time.
You have to equalise. When you don't have the quality, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Like, when you're playing in teams like Burnley, you have to do everything to kind of swing the tide in your way. Obviously, we get annoyed and frustrated watching them because we're Liverpool fans. But that's the Premier League. You know what I mean? And I actually thought in the first half that they bullied us a little bit. Even, I think, like, yeah, what Ward was hanging out at Matip's collar half the game and just looking to make it awkward and get in our faces and be difficult. And that's what they did, because they had a lot more chances than I would have liked them to have, you know what I mean? That's what Dyche does. Look at last year. They don't really have to impose themselves on the game. Just stay in the game until the last 10 minutes and try to disrupt. That's what they did. And they were more or less successful in the first half, only for a man with the quality that led to the goals and Salah being offside, they more or less acted out their job. And they were in the game right until the last minute because Alisson was making last-minute saves and Virgil was making last-minute blocks. So, look, we frown upon it because we're Liverpool fans, but they do what they have to do. And the game is the game, as the saying goes.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I just find some of the stuff he says, I'm kind of going, you know, the stuff he's calling for in his players and then defending from his players, I get where you're coming from. But when you can see it in front of your eyes, like, you know, like literally picking Jota up and flinging him and moaning or saying, like, you know, something that's happened 5 minutes later that's nothing and he's going on about it and he's crying about it. I'm kind of, I know where you're coming from, but when you see it happening and there's so many angles of different things now, there's so many outlets you can find these things where it's kind of like, I suppose they don't give a shit, do they? They're in the game and they're going to do it and fuck the consequences after, whatever they say about them. But Keith, the centre-backs...
Gav, can I just say one thing, actually, before? It showed me yesterday that we have championship mentality this year because not only did we come out and play better football, we fucking bullied them in the second half.
Mm.
We bullied them. Virgil and Matip are ragdolling them centre-forwards in the second half. And we were snapping into challenges. So it showed me that the championship, like, Klopp obviously went in and gave them a rocket because the second half was a completely different game.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think there was a huge difference. Grizz, Keith. The centre-halves, like Shani said, I thought Wood and Barnes threw themselves around quite well in the first half. But then you see in the second half, I think as Liverpool take control, the centre-halves are massive in that. And, you know, Van Dijk gets all the plaudits, but what did you think of Matip? Because I thought Matip was fucking outstanding again yesterday.
I love Matip. I think Matip, he's the most frustrating player we have because we in the past have criticised Naby Keita for his availability. And Joel Matip is bad, if not worse. But the thing with Joel Matip is when he plays, I think he's as good as any other centre-back in the league. Other than Virgil van Dijk. Like, I think Joel Matip is absolutely elite when he plays. And I love him. I think he's brilliant. I think he has it all. And he's got that sort of, you know, he's a big dude. Is he as tall as van Dijk or even taller maybe? He's just, the physique is different, you know. But he doesn't mind getting into a bit of a tussle with them lads. You know what Burnley are going to bring. You know what Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes are going to do. And I think they dropped Jay Rodriguez, didn't they, from the last game to bring in these two big leading dirty Lombard Jacks, as Grizz
called. And Rodriguez top. Always plays well against Liverpool.
Yeah, and I suppose the idea there is you batter, 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 and then you bring on Rodriguez, who's a bit more maybe guile about pick up on the scraps.
A bit more but of a footballer.
Yeah, and it was good to see that we stood up to that. Sean, he said, we got into the game and we moved it, or, you know, we turned it around where the boys were manhandling the forwards, which was great to see. But Matip, as a player, I just think he's brilliant. I mean, I don't want to be too reactionary here. I'm a huge fan of Kanate as well. But, you know, I think Joe Gomez might struggle to win his place back in this team. And that's only based on the fact that I don't know how he recovers from his injury because we haven't seen him yet. But if Joe Matip can stay fit, it's a big if. That's as good a centre-back pairing as you'll see in world football. Do you know what I mean? And I know Virgil's only coming back from an injury as well. But to me, I said on the show a few weeks ago, all the four lads we have now at centre-back are already complementary to each other. And you can see in the way we're playing what we're doing. You know, Matip doesn't have the passing range of Van Dijk, but he carries it into midfield. And Konate does that as well. And Gomez can do that. And they're all quick and they're all strong and they're all big. You know, we like a certain type of football, but Joe Matip is just, every time you see him play, you're fearful because you expect to hear news that he's leading, you know, his laces are open and he's out for 6 weeks. Do you know what I mean? Like, there could be anything with Joel that keeps him out. But when he plays, I just think he's absolutely amazing. I think, as I said, I think he's one of... I'd struggle to name a better centre-back in the Premier League than him that doesn't play for us already.
Yeah, it's I think you're right because you see that comparison and somebody in the chat said there, he doesn't get the credit he deserves because people just talk about Van Dijk and then that's it. Grizz, you know, Shawnee says that, you know, Burnley were very, very physical, especially in the first half yesterday. Barnes, Chris Wood trying to get in around their centre halves, and you've seen a difference in the second half. I know Barnes scores early in the second half and is ruled outside, and he looks like an absolute sap. But after that, Grizz, like, when you look at these centre half pairings, they dealt with the first half, they learnt, and then they dominated. And Shawnee said it with the Cop TV afterwards. You know, if Virgil van Dijk stays fit, and I think if he stays fit, we've every chance of winning the league. But if Joel Matip stays fit with him, I think the other two have a problem getting into the team. And I would be absolutely certain Liverpool win the title. And I mean that.
I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Absolutely spot on. There's no chance you can name me. And I had a really good tweet last week where I said, why do you look at me like that, Keith? Like, surprised, like, oh, did I?
Raising your tweet, Chris. I've never heard that before.
Look, Virgil and Van Dijk, Virgil and Matip are the best centre back pairing in world football, in my humble opinion. Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. And yesterday, as Shawnee says, those two lads up front would have been a handful for any centre-back pairing. I'm telling you that, guys. They were so charged up for it, like proper, because they rose to the atmosphere as well. You've got to remember, they've come back off the back of four defeats in a row, I think, or something, or three defeats in a row, or something like that. You could tell they were really psyched up for it. It was not only a grand occasion for us, it was them as well. They were like, wanted to. This was the third season in a row where they're looking to come to get a result. And I agree with Shawnee in terms of they gave them a bit of a tough time, especially Matip. But I tell you what, I don't know what Matip had at halftime. I honestly don't care. If he came out second half and he was...
I'd love to think it was a portable snack and a can of Coke or something.
Yeah, smoke.
No, lads, honestly, for me, it was the most physical I've seen Matip in terms of he really got to grips, literally at times, with his striker, whoever it was, whether it's Wood playing on that side or Barnes. And he didn't lose a battle. The only time he did where someone suplexed him, literally, like they grabbed him and swiped him underneath and pulled him down. It was amazing how that wasn't even given as a foul. They were leading in. Every challenge was, people talk about, oh, let the game flow, but their forwards were leading in with their elbows every single challenge. And our players were, and I was asking the referee, Virgil and Matip was like, surely that's not allowed. All right, be physical, be strong with us. But every challenge was leading with the elbows first, because they ran out of energy, like you said, Gav, like you said, like in terms of you thought they're going to run out of puff and energy. And they pressed us like mad in that first 15, 20 minutes. But in second half, Matip and Virgil van Dijk were, in my opinion, most of the game, cruise control. They really relaxed the whole situation and let the quality shine through. And once they realized we ain't getting shit from these two centre backs, they kind of just went in their shells eventually. You know, I know there was a couple of saves at the end, but the game was done and dusted by then. I thought Matip was,
yeah, I think it was a lack of concentration more than anything else, yeah, wasn't it? Near the, yeah, end. Like, and the thing is, like, I think the fact that they win that battle early on in the second half, they start to win that battle, then you see Liverpool really starting to turn the screw, you know, just one off the line, just stuff out for corners, and you could really see Liverpool starting to press and press and press. And I think it was because when Burnley could get out in the first half, Wood and Barnes were doing quite well to hold on to it, or grab a free out of it, or a throw, or whatever it might be, whereas this time it was coming out and the boys were just mopping her up and getting it straight to midfielders and fullbacks, and Burnley were like, we're fucked, you know what I mean, the boys, like, they've clicked here and we're in serious trouble. And I think it was a massive, like, we'll talk about the midfield and fullbacks and stuff now in a minute, but I think it was a massive thing that the centre-backs began to dominate their forwards, and as soon as that happened, Liverpool had the quality on the park to go and absolutely put their foot in their throat, which I really enjoyed. Now I could see that second goal coming. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give one of you the Jota goal, I'm going to give one of you the Mane goal, and then I want one of you to start off talking to me about Harvey Elliott. So Shawnee, the Jota goal, I'd say you were fairly well on line with that at an angle from where you were in the ground, and you know what, he doesn't, for me, Shani, get involved in the game a lot. He just scores goals, and I'm absolutely all over that.
Yeah, he's like the yin to Bobby's yang, isn't he? Whereas Bobby's everywhere and getting off little flicks and all, but he lets you down in the final third in terms of his finishing. But Jota, one thing I never realised before we signed him is how good of a header of the ball he is. Yeah. It's something that he does really well. And his movement, it was absolutely unbelievable, because you can tell as soon as Tsimikas gets it out of his feet, he just makes that a little dart into the front post. And you need to remember, like, the Burnley centre-halves, much like their forwards, they're not small lads either. And Jota just nips in and nicks it in. It was a pure striker's finish. The more I see of Jota, I always wonder how he's ever played in as a wide player in any system, because he's so lethal in and around the box. And to be honest with you, I was actually impressed with some parts of his game yesterday when, in transition, I thought he was really good breaking. And I think he was let down a couple of times by Mane or Salah on either side of him. So, look, if he doesn't play well for the next 20 games but gets 10, 15 goals, I don't really care, to be honest with you, because that's his job. His job is to get goals. That's what he's been brought in to do, and that's what he has done ever since he's been fit. I think he has something like 16 Premier League goals and 21 starts for Liverpool. That's some going. That's some serious, serious going. And yeah, he's been excellent. And look, you have to give the other fella his flowers as well. It's an absolutely peach of a ball of Tsimikas. It's whipped in at a perfect height, perfect pace. And he just glances it in. It was absolutely brilliant. The Burnley centre-half was looking around saying, where the fuck did he come from? Because he just, it's that little dart just into the front post, like you're seeing Raul do for his whole career.
Yeah.
Just knowing exactly where the ball was going to go. It was really, really, it was well worked, and it was needed, because it's always very important to get the first goal against a side like Burnley.
It really is. And, you know, the longer it goes on, if that goes to 45, 50, 60 minutes and we don't have a goal, then that's when, like you said a few minutes ago, Burnley start, you know, they just want to be in the game. They want to be in the game for the last 20, 15, 10, 5. It doesn't matter to them. But to get that goal after, I think it was 18 minutes, I think was a massive, massive breakthrough, and it allowed us to play our game a bit more. Even though their forwards are doing fine, I think it allowed us to play that bit more. And, you know, an edginess didn't come into the crowd because we're one up, and we'll take that at half time and we'll go from there. Keith, Sadio Mane's goal, I want to go into that. You can see it on screen there. Loads of passes, loads of movement. And the standout thing, I suppose, is Virgil's crossfield ball to Elliot, who in turn plays it to his right fullback, who's ahead of him 20 yards, 25 yards from goal, who slips in Mane, and Mane buries it. After missing, you know, a couple of good chances, I thought, Mane, earlier on in the game, and I thought it was huge for him to get a goal yesterday, but it was another really, really good goal. And again, emphasise that switch that we have and the creativity we have once we have that switch on.
Yeah, but before I talk about this, I just want to say great shout with Shawnee there with the Raul comparison with the header by Jota. Even as a player, I think it's a good comparison. He's having to realign his game. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, Raul. But sorry, this one. Look, it's all about Virgil's pass, isn't it? It's something that we've missed. We said it all last season. You know, we bring in players to play centre-back. But what was happening was every other facet of our game was being affected by not having Virgil in there, by not having, you know, the big boys in there to deal this. And we saw it there yesterday, the perfect example, that crossfield diagonal ball onto the money, onto Harvey Elliott, who does brilliant, in fairness, to control it and to move it, to shift it quick. It was just a great goal. It was a great goal all around. I think Van Dijk, everyone's weary because he's back from such a bad injury. And, you know, if he loses a yard of his pace, he loses a yard of his pace. But when he still has that ability to distribute the ball like that, it's going to be such an asset to have for their attack. Last season, I think Klopp, the signings Klopp made with Jota and Thiago, I think there was a real idea to change how we attacked, how we played the game. I know it's pretty obvious to say that, but, you know, we never got to see it in full effect. And I think this season, we're going to see that. And I think the diagonals from Virgil from the back are key to that. I think it's, you know, it gets the fullbacks further up, as you touched on, Gav. Harvey Elliott takes it down, he attacks, and he's playing it to his fullback who's ahead of him. You know what I mean? Last season, the fullbacks were way too deep. They weren't getting up into them positions and they weren't committing themselves as much. That goal yesterday was the classic league-winning goal that we got. Do you know what I mean? Of that season, of the year we won the Champions League. You know, the peak Klopp Liverpool team, it came back in that goal. The finish was a bit, you know, not the finish. The ball into Sadio, it was a lovely ball by Boyelia into Trent. Trent flicks it into Mane and Mane buries it. It was a great goal. It's one that we've missed, in my opinion. We got some nice goals last season, don't get me wrong, but that really harked back to the peak Klopp year we won the league. Them type of diagonal balls, you just can't, you know, to put a price on it, you know. You know, you're signing Varane and Chelsea are looking to buy Jules Koundé, and, you know, everybody's looking to buy everybody else. We have a weapon there that creates attacks, you know what I mean? That starts attacks. That's, we've an attacking threat from our centre half with the ball at his feet, 20 yards inside his own half, you know, and to have that, it's such a weapon and it's great to see it back. But it was all about the pass for me, the cutter across the pitch. And as we said, Harvey Elliott takes, we're going to talk, Grizz will be talking about Harvey Elliott now in a second, but, you know, his role in the goal was excellent. Because to do that, to take the ball down and to attack, you're 18 years old, your first start. Some players might have looked and checked back. Harvey Elliott doesn't. Harvey Elliott looks forward. He drives forward. And that's what gave us that impetus and gave us the drive to get on and push in. So, yeah, that goal, just hark back to 20. When did we win the league? That long ago?
20
years. Yeah, back to then. You know, it was just a great goal to see and can't wait to see many more of them.
I think it's a training ground goal. I genuinely believe that.
I don't know where it is, Gab, because I was shocked that Burnley were trying to press us there. That's one.
Yeah,
thing
no. What I mean by that is the movement of our players. You know, we're being pressed, right? We're being pressed, and what you think is their right hand side of midfielder would be somewhere in the middle of the park if we're being pressed, not too far away from the ball. And if you watch, the key to it for me is Trent's movement. Right, Trent doesn't stay in the right back position. Trent keeps going and going and going, and he's nearly dragging. He's nearly going forward enough to make that angle for Van Dijk to play in Elliott, and then they know where they're going from there, because the easy ball is down the side of Salah. But if you watch when Elliott takes it down, he takes the chest of twice, puts it down and immediately looks inside and he knows where he's putting. I think it's one they've worked on.
Right behind there. It was like a golf shot.
Yeah.
It was like something you'd see in Augusta in the first tee. Now when you go behind the player.
Yeah.
It's mesmerizing, I think, to be honest with you.
I think it's a segue, nice segue. I don't know if he was going to talk about Harvey Elliott.
Oh, yeah, you're up, Harvey Elliott.
Is that what he was going to say?
Yeah.
I actually think that goal was, I know you said, who did you say, the intelligence of Trent's movement? I think it was down to the intelligence of Harvey Elliott. Absolutely down to Harvey Elliott. And at the time, I tweeted it, and everyone was like, Trent's pass and Mane's goal, why are you bigging up Harvey Elliott for that? Because I thought his movement during the game, throughout the game, was so intelligent and mature for an 18-year-old. It's unreal, especially for someone who hasn't been playing in this role a lot. He knew exactly when to double up with Trent so Salah could go inside. He knew exactly when to leave Salah out and then play inside, tucking played inside, right? I thought it was the making of him. I'm trying not to overreact, but sort of really closely watching him and trying to see what Klopp's and Pep Linders are seeing in him. And it just shows you that, you know, we know, fuck all, man. Take a seat, Chris. You fucking idiot. These guys.
You wanted
him
out, didn't you?
Not that bad.
So Keith had a dig, so I'm gonna have to, you know, give it context. I wanted him to go out on loan if he was gonna be the understudy to Salah on the right. But I did say in pre-season, fucking hell, he's showing me something in midfield. And mate, it was a genius move for Klopp and Pep, if that's what they highlighted him as. Because I thought Gav, and you know when sort of I was manager of El Nino back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I used to tell my players to try to leave one of their players in the first few minutes. And
relax, John Deutsch, will it?
And the phrase was, let them know you're there. And then you can separate the men from the boys. Because if he gets up and takes you and he carries on, then you're fucked, basically. I'd never plan B. That was the plan. That was the only plan. They tried to bully him. Gav, they tried to batter him.
Yeah, he did.
With tackles and elbows and everything. And the guy never reacted once, eh? All right? Can you imagine, like, sort of, did we see how many times Foden reacts and Grealish reacts and sort of even Curtis Jones reacts, right? This guy was just, you know, like he's programmed to just be a successful football player. And then in a couple of weeks, I said he's like a sponge. You can see him taking in from information from all his superiors, managers. You can see the kid wants to learn, even from his interviews. You know, his magnificent interviews. He's so well spoken and speaking like a veteran of the game. Yesterday, he played like a veteran of the game. He played like he's played that position for so many years. And as I said, his movement off the ball, he knew. And you know what? You know when you know players around you, senior players around you, he was demanding the ball of the likes of Matip and Virgil, and they were giving it to him.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the likes of Minamino or Shaq in the past. They haven't done that. This guy, A, had the energy, sorry, not the energy, the audacity and the confidence to just go and collect and give it to me. He was actually giving it. Surely he was asking it, wasn't he? He was like,
yeah,
giving it. Like wall passes. You know what we call wall passes? When he gives it back to them and say, give it back to me. I just wanted to
bounce
use
back
you
up
to create space. Yeah. I just wanted to use you, Virg and Matip, to create space. And that's what he was doing all around the pitch, even with Mo. Mo,
yeah,
they talk about Mo, the understanding they're creating.
The whole right side was, and you, honestly, you could see, I thought Dwight McNeil was going to have a brain aneurysm on the pitch, to be honest with you, because he didn't know what to do. He just didn't know what to do. He's saying, am I supposed to be pushing on to Trent here? Or hold on, I'll stick with Salah. Elliot is here causing me problems. They didn't know what to do. And like Grizz said, that was the big thing that stood out for me was, how willing the senior players were to give him the ball. No matter where he was, there was times where Henderson turned out from getting the ball off Tsimikas and he knew Harvey Elliott was tight to the line, but he was still comfortable giving him the ball because he knew he'd create space somewhere or another. He was... If you had that was his first Premier League start yesterday. I said it on the Cop TV yesterday. Mm-hmm. If you had to tell me that was a 26-year-old who's played 80, 90 Premier League games, I would have believed in you because he just played with such intelligence. There was a few moments where the pass was loose, but he was fearless. And I'll tell you one thing that really impressed me with him. He was putting himself about. He was an absolute nuisance. He was all over them. He was challenging for headers in the middle of the midfield. There was elements of the game where we weren't cleaning up second balls, but he was always disrupting. When he didn't have the ball, he was being a disruption. And that's
fearless.
A big thing for Klopp.
You use the word fearless. You're right, Shaunie. Yeah,
blocking off past that. Look, it's one game.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very small sample size. But he was doing things yesterday that players who haven't got ability cannot do. And I was really, really excited leaving the ground. Yeah. The pass, it's not, nobody's talked about. I haven't seen it. It's
for the Salah goal. Some
of the highlights packages aren't even putting it in. The pass for the Salah goal is scandalous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
It's the weight of pass. Salah only has to touch it.
Yeah, he just runs onto it. It's a goal. Yeah. Like, it's madness.
Like Chris says, you put another 18-year-old in there, frightened of that life. That's going to the fullback. He's playing the safe pass. He doesn't want to give it away. No, he gives a slide draw pass in between. And Salah is just marginal. It was when I was right in the corner when it happened and I was going, holy shit. Going around to this fella beside me, going, his touch, the crispness of his passing, his ability to get around the pitch. He kept going after getting a few kicks. Like,
you know, you talk about his ability to keep going. At 60 minutes, 65 minutes, I was telling the people I was sitting with, I was like, at the first sub, it's got to be Thiago for Harvey. 100%, it's got to be Harvey. Sat there, you know, oh, it's Harvey. I wonder how he changed it. Everyone was unanimous that saying, oh, it's got to be Harvey. The kids played fantastic speed, energy, whatever. Now it's time to bring on Thiago to just control the game. Again, sit down, lads.
I think to be honest with you, I think the midfield yesterday were brilliant. The all three of them in tandem, they were very functional together. They complemented each other. I thought Naby Keita was very, very good. I thought his awareness of where the second ball was dropping was really, really good. He's really, really quick in transition. They were very good. I thought Henderson as well, quarterback role, did his job excellently. Oh, but the right-hand side...
Immense. Henderson was immense.
That right-hand side was like three fellas who were all plugged in on the exact same wavelength. And I'll tell you one thing. You can tell Mo Salah loves playing with Harvey. You can. That's one thing I could tell from yesterday, that Mo Salah loves playing with Harvey Elliott. You could see that already. People were saying we're going up a board. I don't think we are, to be honest with you. No. But so we're not talking about a young fella who's just come from academy football. He spent a year down the championship getting booted around. And you listen to the way Tony Mowbray and other top coaches and players who have been there talk about, like, give glowing reference to this kid. You know what I mean? If you can do it against Burnley, you can do it against anyone, because you're not going to get booted around anywhere else like Burnley. That being said, I probably wouldn't put him in next week against Chelsea, because it's a different level again. And we have that option. So, one thing, Harvey Elliott proved yesterday, he's a genuine option from midfield. The kid is going to be a star. There's no doubt about it.
It's just, when I look at him, and I'll let you get in now, Keith, but when I looked at that performance yesterday, a couple of things struck me. So I have a thing on the screen here with regards to his pass map, right? And there's loads of short passes that are successful. There's a chance he creates for Salah in the second half for a brilliant ball in from the left where he picks him out really, really well. But there's some short passes that aren't successful. There's some longer ones that aren't successful. But the thing about it is, he never seemed to get down about it. Because like, if you see a fella come in for his fourth start, you know, a pass gone here or a pass gone there, and you think his head will go down, or he get nervous, and he just keep it really simple, and you know, he might get out of position, and he, you know when you see these young players playing and they kind of lose their positional awareness, and you know, it gets very safe, and they're off after 55, you know what I mean? But yesterday with him, there was points where I thought they were successful passes, but maybe they were a slight bit quicker. I think he put Salah, you know, there was one in particular where he breaks in the fourth half down the right-hand side, and he gives it to Salah. And I'm kind of thinking, go on a little bit more with it, because he gave it to Salah with his back to goal right on the touchline. I thought, if you open that up a bit more, you're probably giving Salah a chance to get going. And that's just decision making. But I think when you see how good he was, and it's a testament to him, because I always talk about how Henderson looks after Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold and allows them to play. There was a different dynamic for me yesterday there, yes, with the way they were playing. He wasn't a protector of them. But it was like them two were protecting him and allowing him to play. It was like a bit of a role reversal, if you know what I mean. And that goes back to the trust that he's being given. You know, there's no doubt, you know, Klopp will try to keep his feet on the ground. And Klopp would probably say to him going out there today or yesterday, you're a really good player. I'm putting you in. They are going to target you. You're 18 years of age and you know, they're going to try, you know, be physical with you and get stuck into you and try and knock you off your rhythm. Don't give up. You know, would have given them all this without blowing smoke up his arse, you know, making him think he's fucking messy. But a proper level to how good we think you are, but remember what's going to happen to you and how you have to react properly. And I thought he was excellent. I agree with Shawnee. I don't think he'd start against Chelsea. I think we go with something different, a little bit more controlling maybe, when you look at how big a game that already is, three games in. But overall, I think he was... I thought he was absolutely fantastic for a fourth start at an 18-year-old in the Premier League at Anfield, in front of those fans that are coming with so much high expectation after being away for so long. I thought he was so, so good, and he's a huge star in the making. And everything you've seen from him yesterday, more so when it's things didn't go right for him, he still kept going. I thought was an absolute testament to him, and long may it continue. And the more games he gets for me this season, the better. He doesn't have to be an all-conquering player, but the more he gets this season, it can only be good for him, because this season, for me, for Harvey Elliott, is an absolute bonus. But Keith, are we all going over the top? Are we?
No.
Okay. Just, is that it?
No, you're done? Not. Okay. No, because there's people in the chat are saying, you're going overboard. Harvey Elliott is not some young fella who's come up through the ranks who, you know, we've thrown in and he's all of a sudden a good player. Harvey Elliott was playing first team football at 15, I think, for Fulham. Harvey Elliott was being classed as a bit of a wonder kid before he came to Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? That's his fourth start at Anfield. He has experience behind him. This fella is not some, you know, out of nowhere young player. He was being touted for all the... Every club wanted Harvey Elliott when he was up for sale. Not for sale, but when he was available to be had. Yeah. this fella is not like just some, you know, I don't want to disrespect any of our lads, you know, but it's not just another youth player coming up. This guy is a hugely rated player. And he's a Liverpool fan as well. He has that little bit about him. You know what I mean? That was an excellent piece of management by Klopp yesterday to put him in there, to play him in that game. Because Burnley, while they are a physical team, they're maybe not as mobile, I'd say, around their midfield as other teams are. Right? They're big. They like to get stuck in. But they're not the quickest. Jack Hawk is a big guy. He likes to get stuck in. He's not quick. Josh Brownhill maybe is a little bit more. But not till, you know, he got the time he needed. He got kicked a few times, but he got the time he needed. This young fella is going to flourish. He won't play against Chelsea. I'll be shocked if he does, right? But that's no slight on him. You know, Kev O'Sullivan saying that Bellingham's getting games at that age. If a player is good enough, doesn't matter how old he is. You can hype up a good player all you want. We'll hype up, and people in this chat will hype up Jude Bellingham, seeing him playing one or two games and say, exactly. Oh, I'll buy him, pay 100 million for him. You haven't seen him. Hype up the player that we have, because this kid is in that bracket, and people can say I'm exaggerating or I'm going over the top. Why not? Do you know what's it going to? I'm not going to affect Harvey Elliott's progression by saying I think he's fucking excellent and he's a wonder kid. We're just not giving our opinions about the game. He was excellent yesterday because Gav had the graphic up there about his passing, short little passes. But when you have a player like that, these, you know, Phil Foden, Jack Grealish are that type of player. They get the ball, they pop it off, they move, they have the intelligence, and they don't let, you know, a few misplaced passes get on top of them. That's the difference with Harvey Elliott. You know, he's not going to let... We saw Nat Phillips coming out with a cold, right? Came in from the cold, limited player. You play to his strengths. Reece Williams, too, he's not at the races yet. Nico Williams, not at the races yet. This young fella can do what he wants. Do you know what I mean? This young fella, as the boys have touched on, you're demanding the ball off Virgil van Dijk. You're demanding the ball off Jordan Henderson. You're demanding the ball, you know, off Trent Alexander-Arnold, off Mo Salah. You have something about you. You're not just some blading young fella. So, well, you know, Pedri, another one getting mentioned. If you're good enough, you're old. It doesn't matter how old you are. And we need to just forget about, you know, oh, don't be afraid to overhype this kid. This wasn't an out-of-the-blue performance by some young fella who came out of nowhere. This was not the coming of age, because he's going to take gradual steps this year. But this was what we can expect from Harvey Elliott, because he is an excellent, elite young player. He is a player that if we couldn't keep now, do you think he's going to end up at a middling Premier League team or a Championship team? No, he's not. He's going to, all the big boys are going to want him. This young fella is, I'm not going to say the future of Liverpool or anything like that, but what we have here, we should be garnering this talent and getting him in as many games, the right games. You know, let's not throw him into Chelsea and have, you know, Jorginho, I don't know who was playing, let's say Kante, let's say they put Kovacic. Kante on him and Kovacic, and they're kicking him and they're niggling at him, and, you know, he's not as impactful. And then people are jumping on him. People are diving on, oh, I told you, he's overhyped, this young fella. This young fella won't give a shit. He gets kicked, he'll get up, he'll demand that ball. It's a very rare quality. There could be an
argument to suit him better to play next week than he did yesterday.
Maybe.
There could be, but we'll have to wait and see.
I don't think he will.
Maybe not, but look, as you said, you give him a chance, he takes it. You know, you keep giving him chances. You know, the sort of way. Grizz, I want to come to you, and I want you to talk to me about the fullbacks. The next part of the show, Grizz is going to talk to us about fullbacks. I want Shawnee to talk about the atmosphere in the ground overall, both, you know, when the game's over and the buzz around the place. We're going to talk around man of the match, and then there is some super chats that have come in that were about transfers and stuff, and people think I've forgotten them, and I'll say it again, I don't forget them. They are on the side of the screen here, and I will bring them in towards the end as we talk about the transfer window having 9 days left. But Grizz, the fullbacks, because again, different styles of play yesterday from them. You know, I think Trent's trying to look after their most dangerous player, their best player, for me, in Dwight McNeil. And then you see Tsimikas get an assist, and he's about to go off at the end of the game, and then he gets into a row with three Burnley players and a football while he lies on the ground and comes out with it. And it's probably one of the biggest cheers of the day. But what did you make of them, Grizz? Because I thought they were both really, really good.
They were match winners for us, literally. We've not only got our centre-backs back, we've got our full-backs back, if you know what I mean. So we talked about Matip and his and how he came back and managed to control his opponent and overcome him. Absolutely similar for Trent. First and foremost, Trent looks like an absolute athlete now. Like that picture shows it. I don't know where he got his shoulders from. I think Shaunie's got competition when it comes to shoulders.
Don't call that fair.
No. Shaunie would be.
That's putting too much pressure on
him. Yeah, it's too much pressure.
Forget about Harvey.
He looks like a man now.
I tell you what, of course, it wasn't a genius. It doesn't take a genius to work out who's going to be the biggest threat at the start, and Dwight McNeil proved that. So a couple of dodgy moments he had in the first 15, 20 minutes where his passing was a bit sloppy and lazy like it can be. But I tell you what, he not only controlled him in the second half, but he became an absolute playmaker, as we've discussed upon that passing range. Just look at it. Just let the viewers, obviously the listeners can't see it, but let the viewers see that map, because that is outrageous for a fullback. Show me a pass map of a right back in world football that is comparable to that. Show me it. Tell me. Bring one out, anyone.
You won't see it.
And Gav, I thought his passing, his intelligence, and I hate to say that when you see, you know, one of those going to the game wankers, but you got to see his passing to appreciate how fucking good he really is. It's outrageous how he sees the passes into the central midfield. We always talk about his pings across like his switch of play, but his passing, picking out of passes into midfield is unique for a fullback, in my opinion. And the other kid on the other fella, the Greek Scouser, the mad Greek Scouser, because he's mad.
Because Marco asked there, did we drop Costas for Chelsea? So I wanted you to talk about Tsimikas and what you think they might do with regards to Chelsea at the weekend.
So we talk about how to replace Trent, and, you know, it's one of the hardest things to do. Replacing Robertson, who's the best all-round fullback, shout out to Conroy, because I think Conroy thinks Robbo's shit. But I don't. This fella is absolutely suited to the way we play. He's a mentalist as well, like Robbo. That moment that you referred to, Gav, where he's surrounded by three players, they drop.
Chris Wood is jumping on his back, I think.
Everyone, and he comes out with it's like it reminded me of the moment Robbo went and chased every Man City player and the subs bench. Do you remember when we played them and the crowd just roared him on, and that was the iconic moment, you know, Robertson kind of, you know, everyone recognized what this player is. Tsimikas, the standing ovation he got when he went off the pitch, I think it was quite strategic the way he came off, because he came off right outside the cop, sitting outside the cop. So he walked all the way past the cop and the main stand, and you can imagine the applause and he got, but he was tenacious again, like Harvey Elliott. He's only 4 foot, probably about a foot taller than you. But he was going into challenges, you know, brave, you know, his passing. And I spoke about it on, I think it was Carnage, where I said he's got more going forward than Robertson. And again, his pin is crossed as Tsimikas, lads. It really is. I'm sorry. That's my Muller moment. But it is. He's crossed as Muller. He's an impeccable cross of the ball. His final delivery is impeccable. Yes, there was moments where, again, the positional side of play will happen. It's come. It's not as chronic. It's not as bad as Moreno. But, you know, he's got the man Virgil on his side. And a shout out to, I know you want to only discuss the fullbacks, but the reason why we've got our fullbacks back is not only because of our centre-backs, but this... what's the word, lads, when you the making of a new role or type for Naby Keita?
Evolution.
Evolution of Naby Keita, Gav, into a Liverpool central midfielder. So we know the Leipzig, everyone cries about them. We want to see the Leipzigs.
No, you're never going to see it.
Bring us the Naby from the Bundesliga. What's happened to him? Again, sit down. All of you sit down. All the ones that used to cry about, we want the Holland genie. We want the Dutch genie and the Newcastle genie. Sit down. All of you, just sit down, relax, and watch Klopp, how he utilizes and how he wants his midfielders to operate. Because Naby Keita out there was, I don't know if you guys agree, but was pure genie Wijnaldum. Rotator of the ball, covering Tsimikas every time he covered the ball, his pressing, his energy. Not once did you, you know, see him out of position or caught out of position in that role. I thought there's glimpses. I'm not saying, you know, anything. I'm not making huge, huge claims, but there's glimpses of that. What year was it, Keith? 1920, Liverpool mentality machine coming back, because we weren't amazing again. We weren't amazing, but we were so, so efficient, and we totally killed them with our control, our poise, and our energy. And that, you know, I don't know how it felt watching on the TV, but I was never felt nervous after that initial 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the thing about Tsimikas is, I think he has got moments where you go, where's he off to? Or why is he trying to climb up onto a fella's shoulders? And, you know, mad stuff. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay if he does mad stuff that's just mad in certain areas of the pitch. But when he's asked to defend, he defends. And when he's asked to pass, he passes. And he gets forward. And I think Robbo will come back in, if fit, next Sunday. But I've no issue with Tsimikas playing. I think he reminds me a lot of Robertson. The way he plays, the way he covers, he's there. Like, I know he had COVID and I know he had injuries, but he's still there training, and I'm in a Liverpool squad environment for the last year or whatever it might be. So he's definitely learning on the job all the time. What are you laughing at?
No, you'll see it later. I think Sean is. I was trying to work out what Sean and Keith are giggling there, and I've realized now. But okay. you're good. You'll realize later.
Okay, no worries. I think he's absolutely fine. I've no issue with him, and I think, you know, you've seen him, like Klopp said, 80 minutes last week. He nearly does the 90 this week, but it doesn't happen in the end. So it's one of those. Roy, I want to move on. Shawnee, the atmosphere. Because, you know, Liverpool win the game. Alisson does make a good save near the end, but Liverpool win the game. And you know, what's it like, Shawnee, when it's over? We've seen loads of videos and stuff, but is it real? Does the enthusiasm, does everything flow out of the stadium, you know, and for the hours after? I know you had to get a boat back, but does it flow out of the stadium for you?
Yeah, like, it's just so good. I'm football mad, as you can, and it was just so good to have real football yesterday and to be back in Anfield, and there's so many little lovely details.
I know, I'm still laughing that now. Go on.
You could tell that there was a couple of season ticket holders around by me, and they were going in before pre-game, and you could hear them talking to each other, and you can tell that these were probably people that had only seen each other of a game week. You know, they'd only see each other at the match, and they were chatting to each other like, for the first time in probably nearly 18 months.
Yeah.
And it was just the whole, there was a mosaic on the cup before the game for the 97. And
Andrew Devine.
Yeah, Andrew Devine, like, God rest his soul. Like, the atmosphere, half 12s can be
horrible.
A pain. Oh. Can be a pain in the best of times. You know what I mean? You think of the half 12 Saturdays where the sun is splitting the rocks, and then you look at yesterday, it's chucking it down. It's pissing down. There's queues getting into the ground. People could be a little bit restless, but no. As soon as they get in there, the place was rocking. Absolutely rocking. There were songs going. It was great to hear songs going. Thiago's song got a rip on the cup. And it was just unbelievable. And then you head out onto the after the game, and everyone's buzzing. That air of enthusiasm, and again, it's pissing down, but nobody gives a shite. People are standing in the riddle of the road, like me, giving interviews for other channels and chatting away. And on the boat, on the way home, everyone's looking forward to the next fixtures and see what ways are going to work out. So the buzz is back, Gav. Football is back, the buzz is back. And most importantly, Liverpool are back. I said it myself, yeah, I missed going to Anfield, and I missed real football, but I tell you what, the 15, 16 squad players that Liverpool picked every week, they miss fans more than anybody.
Yeah.
And they probably miss those more than 100%. than we miss them. And that told, because with 10 minutes to go, they were still fighting for clean sheets, snapping into challenges. You know what I mean? And the crowd are reacting. Simikas has given one Burnley fella a jockey back while two-footing another fella trying to keep the ball. And then he comes out with the ball at the end and the bleeding...
The place erupts.
The place erupts like we scored a goal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's you can't pipe that in. You can't pipe that in. Those emotions cannot be duplicated or recreated by any sort of piped in noise, because they're the natural reactions that we missed. Do you know what I'm saying? It was so good. I can't wait to get back. I'm just delighted. I can't wait for Champions League. Imagine late stages in the Champions League, this team.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if we stay fit, nobody's competing. And I mean that. I mean that. And it's a big if. But if we do, nobody's competing. I'm telling you, we will blow the back ass off this league. The same way we were up until January last year. And everyone going on about needing this. Do not write these players off, because I tell you what, we are a wounded animal right now. And we have our boy back.
I think so. I think everything kind of went right yesterday. I was happy that Burnley came and had a go at us. It wasn't a kind of like we swaggered and it was 3-4. I was happy that Liverpool had to fight a little bit and, you know, get involved in physical stuff and, you know, get an early goal and it's still only 1-0 at half time, but then put the pedal down and make it 2. I was really happy the way it went yesterday. And, you know, somebody says there, I think it was Barry, said half 5 next Saturday, it'll be even louder. I think it'll be absolutely insane next Saturday, especially the way us and Chelsea have started. And, you know, it's going to be a huge, huge game. I don't think it'll be a season defining, but it'll definitely be a marker for both. And Liverpool will win the game anyway, just to let you know. I'm not even going to change that.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert, Liverpool win the game for me anyway. But I want to get to man of the match, lads. I want to finish up. We're nearly an hour and 20 in. And then we do a little bit on the way transfers are looking. And I have got some super chats there that were sent in that people were asking questions. So I will read them out to you before we get into that. But man of the match, lads. Keith, I'll come to you first. Man of the match, please.
It's a hard one. This is a hard one because there was a few good performers. But, yeah, look. Simikas. I'm going to go with Simikas because it's easy to go with Harvey Elliott. And I think it was more so, you know, the context with Harvey Elliott. I thought Simikas was effective down that left side. He's a player that's come in for one of the best left backs, the best left back in the world, in my opinion. And it looks like we're not missing a beat. So yeah, I'd go with Simikas. Simikas for me was excellent.
Okay, Shawnee, man of the match for you.
Harvey Elliott.
Yeah,
Harvey Elliott for me. I don't care who says I'm going overboard either.
Yeah,
the kid was mustard. The kid was absolutely mustard. The fact he was left on for the 90, seeing him get. Yeah, and getting his little, he got a little applause off the cop at the end, and you could see like Klopp was walking off the pitch looking at him, beaming with pride. You know what I mean? The lad has a massive, massive future. There were so many good performers on the day, but the 18-year-old making his Anfield debut was the one who stood out for me. I thought he was absolutely sensational.
Mm. Free Worldy has Matip Arhendo. There was a few in there from Matip. Moldesir Ali has Matip was class. He deserves man of the match. Grizz, man of the match for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue if Matip or Hendo was given it, because I thought Matip, I don't think we've spoken enough about Henderson's performance. First really game good. Back, lads. Yeah. First game back. Like, really you know, for ages, right? I think.
Yeah.
Literally ages. Because he didn't start for England, did he? I don't think he started.
No, he didn't start
again. Sporadic substitute appearances.
He was an absolute leader out there.
He might have started one for England against the Ukraine. He may have.
And his passing, again, I genuinely believe this, guys. His passing, you can see the influence Thiago has already probably made in training sessions. Because his first time passing was a joy to fucking watch. It really was. But Harvey Elliott, I'm going to go with Shawnee's shout, Harvey Elliott. From the moment he got clattered and got up and just ran it off and just thought, come on, bring me the ball again. Give me the ball. I thought he was sensational. Harvey Elliott, for me, man of the match. Kid of the match, I should say. But,
Can I give a special mention to Alisson Becker?
Yeah.
Because great to see him being sharp.
Grizz was talking about difference makers. That don't get much better than this fella. Yeah. Fella's a joke. He's a joke.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
it's ridiculous, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Sam Tandy says there, I think Alisson, since he scored that header, feels invincible in goal now. Nothing getting
past
him.
Yeah, he was ridiculous. Like, he was imperious. And there was a moment, Chris will tell you, there was a moment in the first half where he went down, and I actually said, I just said, oh, fuck.
The whole crowd, we all just.
Yeah, it sucked the life out of the stadium for 20, 30 seconds, and then he jumped up and zinged one onto Simicast's top from 60 yards. Like,
he's okay, everyone.
He's everything you want, and presence is huge. And you could see the Burnley players, when they were going through on goal, they knew Matip and Van Dijk were chasing them down. And by the time they got their head up, you had Alisson on that doorstep, ready to take the ball. He's unbelievable. And again, just so glad that he's ours. Fighting for clean sheets. Van Dijk roaring into the cup after 90. Look, the Reds are back.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, they're mad up for it. I'm going to give it to Joe Matip. I think you could argue Trent. You could argue Elliot Henderson, I thought, was very, very good. There's a lot there, but I just think for the way the game went and what Matip had to kind of put up with for the first 40, 45, maybe 50 minutes of the game where it was a real struggle. And then he overcomes what the challenges that are there. And for me, has a massive part in how Liverpool see out, for me, probably the last half an hour of that game, in getting the second goal, being in control and holding out and keeping a clean sheet. I think it's, I'm going to give it to Joe Matip, if that's okay with you. Now, we had some super chats in earlier, so I'm going to read these out one by one, and then we're going to have a little chat. I just want a short thing on what you think may happen for Liverpool in the next 9 days before the window ends, right? So, Sim says, two first team starters or squad players, Gav. That's in relation to me saying, I think we bring in two. Jeannie Houdini says, if you had to bet your last $20, who do you think gets more goals this season, Jota or Salah? Quickly, go. Keith?
Salah.
Grizz?
Salah.
Shani?
Salah.
Yeah, I'm full house, so I think Salah gets on. Salah, yeah, definitely.
It's a good shout, like, it is interesting.
It will be, and listen, if there's a real race between them, we're flying. Yeah. We're absolutely flying. Mark Gibbons says, lads, we have the best 11 in the league, no doubt. We are one or two signings, will go down really well. Simicas has got to stay, even if Robbo was fit for Chelsea, and don't bring him in from the cold, or bring him in cold. Mr. Dare, I say it, Drift. What a name. He says, we've spent liquid cash on transfers for the last three seasons, 8.55 million in 1920, 27.75 million in 2021, and 36 million in 21-22. Absolutely shocking, in his opinion. And a question for Grizz, the last one from RS1, says, Grizz, anything in the docu links? So, Grizz, I might as well come to you with the docu stuff. You can answer that if you would like. And on top of that, what do you see, in your opinion, happening for Liverpool, or what you'd like to see, in the next 9 days before the window shuts? I think it's 11 p.m. on the 31st of August. Someone will tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, look, there's definite concrete interest, in my opinion, in the docu stuff. Only because Liverpool have spoken about it openly themselves. Klopp has openly spoke about how he came over 2 years ago as a kid, etc., etc. What I would like to see in the remaining days that has left, I would like to see Divock Origi leave the club. I would. That's a very bold statement. I don't often say that about Liverpool players. I said it about Adrian, that didn't work. He got a new contract the following week. So fuck you, I better keep it zipped. And I'd like to see. There will definitely be one, but preferably two players coming in. And that would just top off, in my opinion, a brilliant, brilliant summer, taking into consideration we've tied down all the great players, the main spine. And then if we can add on two, look, people often, there's a lot of misconceptions about why people want signings, I think, around Gaff on social media. People are saying, oh, our team's brilliant, our squad's brilliant, we don't need to add. And people are naming sort of the names of players in each position or the players that can play in that position. I don't think many people, there is the odd ball, but we always say, ignore the odd ball, because they're probably not even Liverpool fans on Twitter who are saying that we can't challenge for the title. This team, this squad is absolutely primed to challenge and win the title. But what we'd like to see, and what we started off by saying this summer, was we'd like to see two, three players that are coming in for the succession, for the future. And if Konate and two others can be brought in, then in my opinion, that'll be in a magnificent summer. But let's see, there's a lot to do in the last week. What is it, a week? Or what is it?
Nine days.
So, yeah, there's a lot to do. I genuinely still believe it gets done.
Okay. Shani, what do you think or believe or hope will happen in the next 9 days for Liverpool, squad-wise and transfer window-wise?
If you tell me we get two, I wouldn't be surprised. If you tell me we get one, I wouldn't be surprised. If you tell me we don't, we wouldn't sign anybody, I wouldn't be surprised either. So I just think, I think they should back him, to be honest with you. I'm not saying just throw cash around for the sake of it, but it would be really nice to have another two options in there to just insurance policies, so to speak. Competition can be really, really good for the squad in terms of bringing players in to push players on. But I'd imagine we definitely sign one. And I'm leaning towards more now when I thought it was going to be a midfielder, where I reckon it could be an attacker now.
I'm not too sure. Keith?
Yeah, echo what Shani said. Nothing would surprise me at this stage, but I do think we'll bring one in. As I said earlier, I don't think we'd have, you know, we're giving ourselves, whatever, 8-9 days, letting Shaq move on. I don't think we'd do that and leave ourselves short. Klopp's not stupid. He knows better than any of us do about the injury concerns for a lot of the midfield lads that we have. He knows the risks of going in and leaving yourself short in a positional area, which we did last year. I think we bring in at least one and possibly two. And I think the likes of a Doku link, I just can't get away from the Saw link. So I know he's getting linked with Chelsea and that now, but it just smells like Thiago to me last year. The links came out early from the other side. Nothing much happening, a few tenuous links here and there. I just can't get away from that one. I think we do Saul, and the Doku one makes sense because it's future proof. It's bringing in a younger player. You bring in a player like that and it's about moulding him and getting him into the team. Doku doesn't sign and immediately think he's in that starting 11. He's one that you bring in and you use gradually. That to me makes the most sense. Two players like that. Doku doesn't need to be homegrown either. I think Doku, because of his age, I think he qualifies as an under 21 player, doesn't he? So we could theoretically do the two of them. Be interesting to see. I think we do at least one.
Freeworld has been moaning about transfers in the chat for weeks now, and he's turning around saying sitting on the fence. I'm not sitting on the fence. I just don't know. And I'm not going to.
Is that Freeworld or is it someone else? Because it's Freeworldy, it says now. Did he get banned and change his name? I don't know.
But like, listen, I don't know. And I can't control these things.
What does that mean? What does that exactly mean? Freeworld, thank you for being an avid listener of ours, right? But your message to us is a shit message. Like, what do you want? We're giving our opinions. What do you want us to say?
Definitely won't.
Yeah,
do you want me to turn around and say, if we don't sign two players, I want FSG?
Demands. Demands. They want demands.
I have no idea what they're
going to
do.
Not only that, you've been very adamant to say you don't even care. Like, because you're comfortable with it, whatever they do, either way. Now, we've all got our opinions on what we think should be done, and that's fair enough. We think this needs to be done. We think this needs to be done. But we can't say for definite this is happening. Like, none of us have a direct line. I've got an indirect line, but no one's got a direct line to fucking Michael Edwards and Klopp's office, like, to say this is, like, of course we're going to give our opinion. Some of it may be sitting on the fence. Weird.
Yeah, people saying it's just his opinion. It's just my opinion. Yeah. I haven't got a clue. I honestly don't. So, and I'm not going to, if it gets to the end of the window, I will say, well, I'm not sure they really back Klopp there. But what's the point of me moaning about it, going on whinging about it? I haven't got a fucking clue. I'm just happy that the football's back and we're two from two and there's clean sheets all over the shop. That's good all I care about.
Yeah.
Good vibes, yeah.
Well, I think I think there's 9 days left. I'm on record saying I think we need two to add to this squad because I didn't count Shaqiri and Origi in this squad.
I'm going to go on again. Sorry, Gav. Kai, there's a complacency among the fans. What are you talking about? You can't affect that.
Yeah.
Complacency with what?
I mean, fans are too quick to forget what this team is all about, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Last year was an anomaly and we still, in all reality, didn't do too bad. Let's just see what we can do. Let's trust Klopp. Let's trust the players.
How can you get complacent? How did Liverpool win this week? Yeah, they won. They drew a lot. Like, what happened? The fans got complacent. We can't fucking do what. We're on here having a chat about the football. I'm not sitting on any fence, man. I support Liverpool.
Homebook says Sean, he won the Leinster fence sitting championships 3 years in a row.
That was
around 1999. The final was in the Drake Inn. But I think I've openly said I think we need two for this squad. I think, and the reasons being is that the reliability in midfield, and if they go through the form, what you're left with is still a good midfield, it's still good options, but it's a lot of games if you want to go deep in this league and deep in the Champions League, and I think that's where I'd like to cover. Up front, I think it's a very difficult one. I think when you look at the level of the three that are up there at the moment, Jota, and then you're Firmino. That's what I'm saying. You have the three that are up there at the moment, and then you've got Firmino, okay, which is, you know, I think it's... I fancy him this season. I think he's going to do really well. It's a hard one to bring. For me, you either go absolute worldy, so you're Haaland and Mbappe levels, right? Vlahovic may be in there, right? Or you find somebody that is of an age where they come in and go, you know what, they've four brilliant strikers, but I want to learn from them, I want to progress, I want to get game time, and I want to look at myself in a year, 18 months down the line, when a Salah or Mane may not be there, or a Firmino may not be there, and be able to, as a player, to look to take on the mantle from them, and as a club, you're looking to that player to take on that mantle in a year, 18 months time. And I think it's a very hard player to find. That's just my opinion. I think up front is very, very hard. I'm still sticking with the two. But Shani makes a lot of sense on that fence that he's sitting on when he says it wouldn't surprise me if he signed 0, 1, or 2, because it's literally water to me what's going on at Liverpool at the moment. So it's one of those.
Do you know what, Gav? People get annoyed when, you know, they say things like, what's an interested FC? You know, Liverpool are interested in that. They're only interested by people on Twitter and people, you know, journalists throwing out sort of articles for clicks. Liverpool say fuck all, so we don't know what Liverpool are interested in and what they're not. We hearing stuff that they won't Liverpool sign, they won't sign. On. Yeah.
Liverpool say this, Liverpool say that, Liverpool say nothing. Say this, journalists say
exactly.
That. Don't say Anne. They don't know Anne since.
Well, we'll see.
I stopped getting wound up about this stuff, Gav, not doing
until
business.
About 10 minutes ago.
No, not in that sense. Before after the Van Dijk thing, they don't know anything. So don't be rude. Like, you're driving yourselves mad.
Yeah,
that's what you're doing. You're literally driving yourself mad over something you can't change. Well, it's great. I'm delighted that I've been crowned the 3 times, the triple champ.
Yeah,
of the and I wasn't just Leinster; I was all Ireland fence sitting
champ.
Champ, champ, champ.
So I'm representing. That's great. What a show! That's a great comment.
Yeah, it was a great comment. That's what it's about. Let's have a laugh. Don't get too upset, all the people. Listen, that's it. It's been a brilliant show. We've kept you for an hour and a half. the rest of the week, as it looks, Sunday today, Forum tomorrow, Monday, nothing on Tuesday. We have Jamie and the midweek fix on Wednesday. Grizz is back with Carnage on Thursday. Avi's back with Sports Unplugged on Friday. And then we will have pre and post match for Chelsea on Saturday. And we'll return here next Sunday. Just to let you know, people will ask, are you doing anything for the transfer window closing? Yes. We're not going to do 12 hours and we're not going to come on at 7 o'clock and go through to 11 because, what are you mad? But what we'll do is, we will come on, an hour early. I'll tell you about the dress code. But we'll probably come on around 9 o'clock that night. But if anything breaks before that, we will do. But we'll come on from 9 to probably 11:30 because it'll close at 11 and there's always something happening. So that'll be the Tuesday, the 34th, all right? Keith, anything else before we go?
No, that's it.
Yeah, before we go, Gav, just a little shout. The sad news that Terry McDermott has been diagnosed with dementia. Another footballer of a generation, Dennis Long, he came out there a couple of days ago as well. And it's very sad to see all these footballers. You know, it's not to the extent of American football, but there is a lot of these players and they hit dementia or Alzheimer's early. And Terry McDermott, I know in my family, he was a much loved. When I was growing up, my man dad loved Terry McDermott. We used to watch the official history of Liverpool constantly when I was a kid. Player. And Terry McDermott was one of my favourite players, even though I didn't see him playing. And it's just very sad. Little things like that sort of hit home as well when it's a player that, well, you may not have seen. It's well known. I like old football, and it's just very sad news. And look, thoughts are with Terry and his family at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And Keith's put it perfectly. There's no need for anybody else to say anything. He's put it absolutely perfectly. Shawnee, anything else before we go?
No, Gav. Just delighted. It's great, great to be on again. And just, I love Liverpool. I'm not a top red. I'm just a Liverpool fan, true and true. And yeah. I'm actually going now to sit on the fence for 8 hours.
Yeah.
No, Sean, you are a top red. You are a top red, except.
What's a top? Yeah, well,
I'm not talking about who. What
it's like Del
is.
Boy when
you're on to Andy Young. Andy Young. Andy Young wrote a book on it.
They're only on. I'm not on Twitter. So, if I'm a top red, the only one who's listening to me is me missus, and she has a pain in her arse, burning the ears off. So, yeah. And there was a few lads saying I was going around throwing it about on Matthew Street last night. No such thing, lads. Just to get me into trouble.
No, not at all. Not at all. She's on a boat home. He drove a boat home. He drove the Sten at home.
Yeah.
Navigated it very well by all accounts. Grizz, anything else before we go?
No, it's been brilliant. We're back. Show is going to, like, LFC's, I think, revenge tour is back on track. It's good to hear you doing the countdown again.
I love the countdown.
The countdown's the best. I think we're back. I think let's bring on more and more wins and shows. The Fatback 4 is going to be popping this season, without doubt.
Good stuff. Right. That is it. That has been the Fatback 4. Don't forget to check out in the description of this video the link for Sienna and the course, that appeal that we're trying to help her out with and get her to St. Louis in America in November for life-changing treatment. You can donate €1 by virtually buying a ticket to Anfield, or you can go into the GoFundMe and give as much as you want there. But please share. That's the main thing. Absolutely share and share and share and try to help this girl out. That's probably the most important message to come out of every show that we do from here right until that girl gets treatment, okay? But that's being it. Thanks for watching. Thanks for the comments. Don't forget to hit a like on the way out if you haven't already. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. And thanks a million for all the comments tonight. It's been amazing. Grizz, Shawnee, Keith, you're off now to look in your WhatsApp groups because it's been absolutely hopping. I know it's been hopping because the smirk in your face for the last 45 to 50 minutes. And look, let's just go and see what Joe Walsh is up to. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.